What's up, nerds? Welcome to the Anatomy Nerd Podcast. I am your host, Hillary, and today I have the pleasure of speaking with Dr. Mary V. Gonzalez. Hey, Mary V., welcome to the podcast.
Hey, y'all. How's it going?
So, Dr. Mary is the creator of the YouTube channel and Etsy Anatomy Shop, Queen Mary Anatomy. I love that name. She has a PhD in human anatomy and is a professor at Texas University. She also has a blog spot called Queen Mary 353, which she uses to give advice and share the things she wishes she knew when she was younger, as well as her first published book entitled 8+ Things I Wish I Knew When I Was Younger, which is available on Amazon and Payhip. And listeners, you get a special coupon code today just for listening to this episode. You can use Nerd Podcast to get a discount on her Etsy site. There's some really cool stuff over there, so head on over and check it out. I'm a particular fan of the cool shirts she makes. So really cool stuff. Really cool stuff.
Thank you.
Yeah, super into it. Okay, so today we're going to be talking a little bit about the anatomy of the heart, and more specifically what happens to the organ when we have a heart attack. So for our listeners who may be a little unfamiliar with the heart anatomy, let's do a little quick introduction. And since you are the anatomy professor, I'm going to let you dive right on in, Mary.
Yeah, absolutely. So, well, the heart essentially is going to be a muscle, right? It's actually called the cardiac muscle. It's about the size of your fist. And it has four chambers. There's going to be a left atrium, left ventricle. And then on the right side, there's going to be two chambers in there, right atrium, right ventricle. And then the main purpose of the heart is just to pump blood.
That's
it. Pump blood to your body, right? Oxygen goes to your tissues. Your cells get that oxygen, and then they can work perfectly, mm-hmm. right? So typically, the left side of your heart, it's the one that has the oxygen-rich blood that's coming from your lungs. And then from there, your hearts just send it to your body through a very big blood vessel called the aorta.
Mm-hmm. Right, that's it's pretty big.
It's so big. It's the biggest blood vessel in your body.
Yeah, I remember seeing it in anatomy books, and I'm like, yeah, that's pretty big. But then seeing it in a cadaver, I was like, oh wow, that is actually that big. That's wild. Yeah, because you can like see your arteries and your veins like in your arm, right? And they're kind of these like little small things. But then when you see a real aorta, it's like, oh, that's big.
Yeah, and so the aorta, it's one of those arteries that it's if something happens to that artery, right, to the aorta, oh my God, person can literally just die very quickly.
Right? Yes.
So that's about the left side of the heart. And then the right side of the heart, it's what we call the poorly oxygenated side of the heart, because it contains mostly carbon dioxide. And so we want just to take that blood that comes from your body, we put it in the right side of the heart, then we send it to our lungs where we're going to exchange those gases. We eliminate the CO2 when we breathe out, right? And we take in that oxygen and then we put it on the left side. So essentially that's like, to put it in simple words, that's how the heart works.
Right. Perfect. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so for any of our listeners who were a little unfamiliar with how the heart works, there's your little introduction. But this episode, we're mostly going to be focusing on what happens when your heart doesn't work. So when you have a heart attack. So, correct. Mary, what is a heart attack? And apparently there's differences between male and female, which, I mean, honestly, I was really unaware of. What are those differences?
Well, so first of all, to answer your question, a heart attack, it's like clinically known as the myocardial infarction. And so essentially it means that when something happens to the delivery of oxygen to your actual heart, the tissue can start dying. So let me just tell you this first, right? So I tell my students that the heart is selfish. Right.
Yeah.
And the reason that the heart is selfish is because he's saying, hey, I'm going to send all this oxygenated blood to the body, but who's going to be the first organ to receive that oxygenated blood is going to be your own heart. That's why I tell my students, it's selfish, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember learning that, and I was like, that makes sense, but that's also just so funny, right?
Right, yeah. So it's just a way to just remember it, right? Which organ's the first one to receive oxygenated blood. So is your own heart, right, through these arteries that we call the coronary arteries, right? So the coronary arteries are these little arteries that come out of your aorta at the very base of the aorta. Mm-hmm. It comes through your heart. It delivers that oxygenated blood to the tissue, right, to the myocardium. Uh-huh. And that's how your heart can continue to pump and work efficiently, right? But when something happens to that delivery of oxygen, a heart attack could happen, right? So one of the main reasons for a heart attack could be a disease called atherosclerosis, mm-hmm. right? Yeah. And in atherosclerosis, unfortunately, what's happening here, there's an occlusion, right? There's something that's blocking, in other words, there's something blocking that artery.
Right.
Right. So typically we call it a plaque. Right, a plaque buildup. Usually that comes from, fat, essentially.
Does it look like fat, or does plaque look different than fat?
It's a combination of different materials. One of those is going to be fat. There can be some blood materials clotting factors. Right, could also be involved, especially if the plaque ruptures. If the plaque ruptures, the body is going to treat these as something that it has to fix. So
that makes sense.
Yeah, there has to be some clotting factors in
there. So there's an abundance of blood cells there?
There could be.
Interesting.
And the different components for clotting, right? So that's one of the things you'll see in there. Another thing you can see on the arteries of the on the walls of the arteries, you can find calcium deposits, right? Mm-hmm. That's another thing which will make the arteries harden, right?
Yeah.
Several things can actually accumulate on the walls of the arteries, right? Creating an occlusion, right? And so when there's an occlusion, if the occlusion is partial and blood can still continue to flow, there could still be some oxygenation to the tissue. The problem is when there's like a complete occlusion. That's the big problem.
Right. We're talking no blood to an area.
Correct. Right. And so that tissue starts dying. That part of the heart starts dying.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's eventually leads to the heart attack, which we also call the myocardial infarction, right?
Wild.
And so to answer your other question, right, you asked me, there are some differences, right, between male and female, right?
Yeah. Okay. So a little bit of a difference. When did we start learning that there is a difference between male and female heart attacks? Maybe that's something you know or don't know, but that's just so interesting to me.
Yeah, absolutely. And the reason is because, well, males and females, physiologically speaking, there are differences, right?
Big ones,
organs,
yeah.
Right? And also the way the body responds, right? Uh-huh. So that's one of the reasons why. And so in scientific literature, we usually take male as the standard type of, how can I call it? It's kind of like a standardized way for us to study diseases, right?
Right.
Or the normal human anatomy. And so because of that, we normally don't consider, right, those female differences.
Right, right, right. That makes sense.
Yeah, it's a way. So now what we're trying to do here is bring awareness to the people, right, of those differences, right, because we're not the same. Okay.
Yeah.
So definitely that's one of the things. So basically, one of the things, one of the classic signs and symptoms in males typically is going to be the chest pain, right? The left arm pain, right? That's a classic symptom of a heart attack. The dizziness, the shortness of breath, right? Those are some of the most common signs and symptoms. And right. we often see it even in movies, right? We see like the male goes like,
ugh, like right? grab the left side, yeah.
And then they drop. Uh-huh. To the floor, right? Yeah,
a very so dramatic like a drop, yes.
Very dramatic, right? So that's one of the classic signs and symptoms in males, right? Okay. But in females, in some cases, it is not, we not normally see those classic signs and symptoms as in males, right? Like those generalized issues. So for example, one of the things that females could have is tooth pain.
Whoa, what?
And that's, yeah, that's kind of like a weird thing.
Pain that's
wild. In the jaw area, right?
That's so, so how are you supposed to think? Like, okay, my teeth hurt. I'm having a heart attack. That's so crazy.
Right.
Oh,
so
my goodness.
You could think you just have maybe an issue with your tooth.
Yeah.
So you would just go to the dentist
instead of going
to the hospital,
yeah.
Right?
Oh,
I'm not
goodness.
Saying that. Yeah, I'm not saying that just the tooth pain by itself, right? Mm-hmm. Sometimes it comes with a combination of other signs and symptoms. In other occasions, females could have heartburn.
Oh wow!
Right, and the sensation of heartburn
uh-huh.
or like acid reflux, but in reality, it's a myocardial infarction.
Wow!
Right,
that is
and
so. That's those. So those are very different symptoms.
Definitely,
that's
definitely
crazy.
It is. It is, and so I've heard of stories of females that they have gone to the clinic thinking that they have something's wrong.
Yeah.
Right. And they in the clinic, they just dismiss it as, you just have an acid reflux. Just take this medication for your acid reflux. There you go. Off you go.
Oh, my goodness.
Without considering other situations, right? Considering a heart attack is possible.
Wow. Right? I'm really glad that we're becoming more aware of these differences in symptoms because, gosh, that's these symptoms should definitely be looked at very differently because it could be a myocardial infarction. That's wild.
Especially when all of these signs and symptoms go in combination, right? You can have a combination between the heartburn sensation, the discomfort on the jaw area, maybe even discomfort on the stomach area. Pain on both arms. That's also another thing. Pain in the back. Could also indicate it, yeah. Obviously, the shortness of breath,
right.
With or without chest discomfort.
Okay.
That's another thing that could happen. Also, another thing that a female could feel is like this extreme sensation of fatigue. Like they even walk a couple of steps and they feel like whenever. I don't know if you ever been or taking the stairs up a building, and then when you get to the top floor, you're just you can't catch your breath.
Yeah. Like I need a moment.
So that's the type of sensation they feel, but they are just walking a couple of steps in a regular floor.
So it just is much more energy demanding.
Right. It's kind of like just to give you an idea of how would it feel. Or it feels like an elephant is squeezing your chest.
Yeah, I've heard that before. That's a good one to remember for sure. That's that's interesting.
Yeah, and so I've heard often of stories of females that are when they go to the clinic with these symptoms. Sometimes they just get brushed up you just take these. Acid reflux medication.
Yeah, right.
Go home, rest. Yeah. You'll be fine.
Take your Tums, go lay down. You'll be fine.
right.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness.
And they could even have things like nausea, vomiting, you see that all of these signs and symptoms are very different to what we are accustomed to hear as in males.
Right? So where is the research on this? Like, have we, I guess, like, as a medical society, have we done a lot of diving into as to why we have these big differences? Is it hormonal? Is it, can we blame it on the muscle tissues? Can we blame it on, I don't know. What have we kind of tried to figure that out?
Well, one of the theories, it's definitely could be an involvement of hormones. Right. It could also be the nerves, the way in which our nerves react to the heart attack episode.
Oh,
for
okay.
example,
okay.
we have the vagus nerve.
Yes.
We have one of the nerves that control our diaphragm. It's the phrenic nerve, mm-hmm. right? And so in general, I'm just saying that the different nerves that we have coming into our chest area could also be detecting those informations that are coming out of the heart, right?
Okay.
And so
very
the way in which we interpret it, right, it's going to be different. So some of the things we call it is like the refer pain.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So So these are some examples of the refer pain. Like in males would be the left arm, right?
Right.
Whereas actually the pain is not coming from the arm. It's actually
right.
coming from the heart,
uh-huh.
right? And so in females, it could be both arms, like I was saying, or in the jaw or
yeah.
in the back, right? That type of refer pain.
Gosh, that's
situation.
So interesting. Mm-hmm. So very interesting.
Yeah. So one of the places I would recommend for everybody to check out is the American Heart Association website.
Yeah.
I think it's heart.org. And they have all of the information laid out, specifically the differences between males and females. So definitely that's a recommendation to check out.
Yeah, certainly. I guess especially as we get older, right? Like, it's not a lot of younger individuals have heart attacks. Am I right about that, or...?
Well, I'm glad you actually mentioned that because it depends.
Really?
If you have,
okay.
Yeah. If you have a family history
uh-huh.
of younger females in your family with heart attacks, you could also be prone to having a heart attack.
Oh, wow.
Definitely.
Okay.
I've heard stories
of
females.
Don't wait till you're too old to,
yeah.
to learn more about, you know.
I was actually reading a story of a female. She was 21 years old. When she
oh my
had
goodness.
Her first heart attack.
Oh my gosh,
yeah.
That's so young.
And
that's,
you
I mean, that's just
think
kind of
about
the thinking.
It.
Yeah, the thinking is, oh, it's like this is an older individual health issue, not a younger person's
right.
issue.
Right.
Wow.
It could
okay.
take anybody. Anybody could have a heart attack, especially if there is
okay.
A history of heart attacks in your family.
Yeah,
right. So
that's
definitely
always
take
difference.
It serious.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And if you don't know your family history, nowadays, you know, you can do one of those genetic testings.
Yes. Yeah.
You just spit on a tube, send
uh-huh.
it. And they will
not
give you
not very glamorous,
all of that
but it gives you, yeah, a lot of really amazing information. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. I
There's
actually
so many
did
options.
One.
Did
and
you?
I found a yeah, I did. I did one and I found a lot of information. The testing
oh,
gave me over.
Cool.
300 test results.
Wow. Very
it
cool.
It was amazing. Yeah.
Very cool.
I found out about my ancestry. I found out about diseases I never thought I could have.
Oh, how
or
cool.
like I have high incidence of you know, of developing
yeah.
Even pharmaceuticals that I could be allergic to, things like that.
Oh, very interesting. Very
mm-hmm.
interesting.
Yeah, of course, you, it's best, the best way right, is to just go to your doctor, your PCP, get checked, right?
Yeah.
Talk to your doctor before taking any decisions, but yeah, so that's a good alternative to find out if you don't know your family history.
Yeah, definitely, definitely,
mm-hmm.
definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, because those tests on your body and like getting a doctor to assess your body and where it is today, that's going to give you the best data, you know, so...
For sure.
Excellent. Okay, so I'm curious. So how did you come to this topic? Because I understand you're well versed in this topic and you know a pretty significant amount about the heart and things that happen with the heart, such as a heart attack. How did you come to kind of specialize in this?
Well, thank you for that question. I actually am a pathophysiology professor and I teach cardiovascular diseases. I have been teaching human anatomy and physiology for the past 8 years. So oh, cool. It's one of the most fascinating topics.
It is.
It's actually my thesis was actually about the zebrafish cardiac muscle tick filaments. Wow. And so where I was looking up close to the myosin tick filaments, and we created this specific technique to isolate those filaments using an enzyme called elastase. Uh-huh. And so we use transmission electron microscopy to analyze and observe the structure of the thick filaments.
Oh wow, that's interesting.
I have been in love with the cardiovascular system ever since I've had memory.
It's Mary's first love.
Absolutely. I love the human heart. It's one of the most fascinating organs.
It is, right? I mean, so I'm with you on that. I really do love the heart. It's one of my favorites. I could nerd out about so many different parts of the body that are, you know, also my favorites. But I love the heart for so many different reasons. Like the funny little fact that we already mentioned about how it's a selfish little organ, right? Like it gives itself blood first. You know, how it has its own entire electrical system to pump the blood out of the ventricles into your body. Like, that operates off of electricity. That's really cool. Like,
oh my God, I forgot about the electricity portion. Oh, thank you for mentioning that.
Yeah. No, well, the heart is extensive. So this episode is not a full on like anatomy lecture on the heart. You know, this is a fun, let's dive into, you know, what the heart is and what happens when the heart doesn't work and specifically heart attacks, right? Like, we don't have enough time to cover everything in the heart. God. I mean, but the little bit that we do touch in this episode is fun things like that. Like that's just such an amazing fact to me. Like I remember learning that and I was just like stupid nerding out about that for days after, like, it has its own electrical system. Like, this is just so cool. And
yeah,
you know, the shape of like the Purkinje fibers and all that stuff. It's just really cool. The heart is just so cool.
Have you ever seen a heart like literally beating by itself on the table?
I've seen a frog's heart, not a human heart.
Yeah, the frog's heart. That's the one. That's the one I'm mentioning. Like, I remember for the first time when I took human anatomy and physiology, mm-hmm. When I was doing my bachelor's, my professor actually, he took out the heart of the frog and put it on the table. And he said, here, this is what I've been mentioning. The heart beats by itself. I couldn't believe it.
I know. I was looking at it
with my own eyes. It kept beating on the table.
It's amazing. So the lab exercise that my physiology professor had us do. So we cut open the frog and then we exposed the heart. And then we had these different drugs. And excuse my extreme lack of pharmacology knowledge. I don't remember which ones they were. But we took like a tiny little dropper and we'd put one drug on the heart and we dropped it on the heart to speed it up. And then we let that
kind of wear off. Is it epinephrine?
It may have been. Yeah, it may have been. Thanks, Doc. thanks, teacher.
It's fine.
And then, you know, we took another one to slow it down. And it was just amazing to see in real life. It was... Yeah, that experience obviously stuck with me.
Oh my God.
Really cool.
That's so amazing. And well, I don't know if your professor did this, but another thing that blew my mind that he did was he cut the heart literally in four pieces.
Uh-huh.
And then each one of the pieces kept beating.
What?
By themselves.
What?
Yeah.
No way.
Yeah.
Okay, I didn't see. we're nerding out pretty hard over here. That's
amazing.
No, he didn't do that. I'm really jealous. I kind of want to do this now.
Yeah, because it just shows you how, like, the whole system, right? The electrical system with the Purkinje fibers, which you just mentioned before, right? It literally shows you, like, how, like, it can keep beating.
Yeah.
So that was so amazing to
it's
me.
It's amazing. It's absolutely incredible.
And it's
an impressive organ.
Yeah, I even tell my students, you know that we have natural pacemakers?
Uh-huh.
And they go like, what?
Yeah, they're like,
I'm like, yeah.
Everybody has a natural crazy. What is she talking?
Everybody has natural pacemakers, and they're like, isn't that like a device they insert to older people when they can? And I was like, yeah, those are synthetic pacemakers.
For when our pacemakers, the real heart's pacemakers, get all wonky and don't work right. Yeah.
Right. So that's something that it always. Yeah, it takes them by surprise.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
Yeah.
There's something really special about learning about the heart for the first time, especially like if you are an anatomy nerd, which, I mean, obviously we are. But it just is so much fun. And to be in a room full of students and your classmates and just like sharing in that awe and sharing in that like, those light bulb moments that happen over and over and over of just like, wow, this is really just the coolest organ. And then if you're lucky, you have a professor much like you who is just so into it too. That is the best. I mean, I remember just sitting there in lab, really just loving every minute, just talking with my professors, talking with my classmates about, you know, the things that we were doing in lab with the heart. And it's just fun. It's a really cool energy.
It is. And there's this concept that they, I don't know if you've ever like heard of it, when they say, oh, are they pulling you by your heartstrings? I never could understand that. And then when I studied the heart, I was like, oh, there's literally heartstrings.
There's literally heartstrings.
It's like, well.
And then did you pull on them? Because I totally did.
Yeah, absolutely. I broke one of those.
Oh, Mary.
I pulled too hard.
Mary.
I pulled too hard.
Oh, she's a heartbreaker.
Literally.
Literally a heartbreaker. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
So that's one of those cool things that you, I don't know, it's amazing. And in my case, I did have the opportunity to actually study it in animals. I've studied it in human cadavers. And I've done some forensic. I was a forensic intern for a while.
That's amazing.
And
that's
seeing
cool.
it just like fresh from a person who literally just died and studying how the heart attack looks like on the actual cardiac tissue, it changes your perspective of life. Right?
It really does.
I have so much respect now. I mean, not that I didn't before, but I just see life differently now.
Yeah, I've said this on another episode, but I feel like it's absolutely totally necessary to say again. There's just something about cadaver lab and about working with real human tissue instead of like a model or your textbooks or, you know, YouTube videos or what have you, which are all fantastic. But like there's just something so different about actually getting to work with, you know, a real human heart. Or whatever organ that you're working with, that just brings you a whole nother level of respect for the human body. It's amazing.
Absolutely.
It's just another level. And I think one of the things that I was mentioning on previously was like how that can be kind of an emotional experience, right? Especially that very first time, and you're like, okay, this was a real person. They made the incredible decision to donate their body to science, and I now have the immense luck and pleasure to be able to learn from this body. Like, that is something so incredibly special, you know.
I have to admit that the first time I saw a human cadaver, I felt something dropped I think my heart dropped
to
my feet. And then I was like, compose yourself. Come on, get it together.
Like, get it together, Mary. Get it together. Pull it together.
But then, you know, as soon as I started dissecting, it went away. Like, I was so excited, you know, to learn and find out, you know, everything and discover it. It was a great experience.
Yeah, great it really experience. Is.
So I feel like if you are as our listener and you have to, like, go to learn, I don't know, if you're going to go for nursing school or med school, something like that, definitely be involved, right, in the process of dissecting a cadaver, because that's
So I understand experience. That some programs, they allow for the option of taking a like an advanced anatomy or just regular anatomy. And my understanding is that, you know, your standard anatomy is, you know, learning from the models and the textbooks and all that stuff. And then advanced anatomy goes deeper into, like, the clinical anatomy and then, like, working with cadavers and all that stuff. Students, if you're listening, definitely take advantage of that cadaver lab and those advanced anatomy courses. They are jam-packed full of stuff that you're going to use as a nurse, that you're going to use as a doctor. Like, you really get a deeper understanding working with the body, working with the tissues, working with all of that stuff, and understanding, like, you know, there was a cadaver in my cadaver lab with a pacemaker, and they left it there. Like, when they had done the dissection, they left the pacemaker there so we could see what it looked like on on a body. And it was just really informative, right? Like, it's just so different from seeing it in a textbook. It's like you get that further other understanding of, like, oh, this is actually a little device that is implanted in the body, right? And it really just drives the concepts home, you know, in a very different way. So yeah, take advantage of Cadaver Lab, because it's cool. You learn so much.
oh my god, I felt like, I don't know about you, but I felt like it was so fast.
Yeah,
like, I only had like one semester to learn the whole body. And I felt like I needed more time.
Oh, totally. Well, I think it was that I needed more time, because it's like it's like trying to drink through a fire hose, right? Like, it's just so much information. But also, I selfishly wanted more time because I was just so into it. I was like, I could have done this for two or three semesters, guys. Let's go.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
But yeah.
I don't know about you, but I was one of those students literally nerding out until like 3 a.m. in the morning.
Oh, yeah.
Like, in the cadaver lab.
I was. Yeah. And it's like I would like sneak out, like get a quick bite to eat, and then literally just right back in. Just
me too.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
I did my studying in there, like everything. It was just we were in the cadaver lab a little too much, huh, Mary?
Oh my god. No life.
No life. Yeah.
No social life.
No, your best friends were the cadavers at that time.
Oh my god. Yeah.
Yeah,
I feel you.
Yeah, but it was great, though. It was really great. It was such a cool experience, and
I agree.
Awesome. So, long story short, here, guys, take that cadaver lab. It's really, really cool. You're gonna learn a lot.
Not gonna regret it.
No way, no how. And you know, take comfort in. So I remember hearing some of my fellow classmates like voicing concern of like, oh, I don't know if I can do this. Like, this might be kind of weird. Like, understanding that if you're having those thoughts about cadaver lab, that others are probably feeling the same way too. There's some that are like, they don't think twice about it. They're like, yeah, it's a cadaver and it's totally fine. It's a body. You know, we're all bodies. It's great. It's fine. But, you know, others have different emotions about it. And whatever you're feeling is totally fine, and I guarantee you that there's another student that felt the exact same way. So don't let that stop you from taking that class, because it is the best. It's really cool.
Right. So, right. Anyways. Agree.
I knew you would agree, Mary. Okay.
Yeah.
So how do you continue to learn anatomy or stay on top of anatomy as a professor, right? Because, like, I think that as a student, I had the idea that, like, oh, my professor knows it all. But I've learned that that's just not true. Professors continue to learn, too. So what do you do?
Okay, so in my case, I learn anatomy by practicing a lot. Mm-hmm. There was a lot of self-teaching throughout my years of teaching. So I always like to go back to my anatomy books. I always like to go back to my PowerPoint presentations before I teach them. So there's a lot of preparation before actually going into the lecture room. And I also use other things like I like to draw. So I use my drawing skills to kind of like practice the different organs and systems. And when I was a student, one of the things that I used to do a lot is I was doing things like inventing songs.
Oh, yeah. I remember doing that, too.
Literally, I would just create a song out of the different parts that I had to learn so that it would stick in my mind and then I would remember it. Or I would just go and learn the different mnemonics. There's a lot of mnemonics nowadays.
Oh, my God. I lived by mnemonics. I would create all my mnemonics and, like, write all my flashcards and all that stuff. And then I just couldn't stop studying. So, like, I would go for a run for my break. But then I would write my mnemonic on my arm so that I could practice it on my run or something like that. Just because, like, mnemonics were literally the only way that I could learn things.
Oh, my God. Whatever works for you to learn it, because anatomy, it's a whole another language.
Totally.
Right? Anatomy is a language that you have to, like, learn it and then just compare it to something. Like, one thing that I would do also is, like, compare it to words that sound very similar. Mm-hmm. Right? And in that way, I would just remember it, right?
Yeah.
One thing that also works for students, it's to have or practice with the anatomical models, right? Yeah. You would just take the anatomical model, label it yourself,
totally,
right? And then look back at the book, see if you did it right, then go back and
that's
forth.
That's a good trick.
Yeah. Obviously, the cadaver, that's one of the best ways, dissecting the cadaver while using your netter.
The Netter Atlas.
I love that book.
I lived by it.
My favorite atlas.
Who didn't live by it, right? Like, that's how you got through cadaver lab.
I think everybody knows Netter at this point.
Oh, yeah. 100%. Yeah, 100%.
So, yeah, I would always have my book, my Netter, with me with the cadaver, right? And I would just be comparing, finding the structures while I was dissecting. And another thing that also works is tutoring others, right? If you're a student, let's say that you're in second year, third
study
year.
Study groups.
Study groups, try to teach someone. Because when you're forced to teach someone, you also learn.
Yes.
Right? The practice of teaching someone. That's how right now I feel more confident, right, while I'm teaching. But before, oh my God, it took me some time to learn it. But because I loved it, it wasn't as hard. I don't know if you've ever felt like for example, I remember, I'm gonna be honest here. I'm sorry, math people, right? The people who love math.
I love that you started it with an apology. Like, sorry guys.
Sorry guys, but. Like, I had to, when I was in my bachelor's, my bachelor's forced me to have up to calculus 2. And to me, I'm like, what a waste of time.
Totally.
Because I'm not going to use that for nothing.
Yeah.
But, you know, I didn't love it, right? I just learned it, passed the class.
Right.
Move on.
That's so
ask me something now. Ask me about calculus now.
Yeah.
I don't remember a thing.
Totally. Not a darn thing. No, I'm with you 100% on that. Like, I have been out of college for so long now. And, like, ask me anything, anatomy, physiology, neurophysiology, anything like that. And I've got it. But
anything else? I don't know.
Ask me chemistry stuff? Cool. Oh, boy.
Oh, my God. Don't get me started on chemistry.
Oh, girl.
I'm like, hail to everybody who loves chemistry, because that's like, oh, my God. I have one of my best friends. He has a PhD in biochemistry. I'm always like, oh, my God.
You are amazing. You have a brain the size of an elephant. You are so, yeah. No, I'm with you on that.
He's the same to me. He's like, No, you are the one that I'm like, hailing because, you learn the whole body. And I'm
Yeah.
like,
Well, but
well, I
it
think it's
really,
when you love the topic, when you love the
yes.
topic, it will just
Yes.
come easy to you.
Exactly. I did not love chemistry, and chemistry did not love me. And,
Agreed.
and I just absolutely loved anatomy. Like, I was stupid obsessed with it. And,
Obsession is the word.
oh, yeah, totally. And because of that, it came easy to me. So, yeah, I think that just once you find what you love, it makes it quite easy to just dive in and keep going. And you just want to learn more and more and more.
Right. And so
Yeah.
it's just a matter of focusing on the topic, keep practicing, keep going
Yeah.
until you feel like you have to feel confident, right? That's
Yes.
the key. You
Yeah.
have to feel confident with the topic. If you're not confident, then you're not ready
Totally.
just yet, right? So you
Totally.
have just keep practicing.
Yeah.
That's what I tell my students all the time. So, and that's what works for me.
Totally. Awesome. Thanks for sharing that. That's really great. So then, what are some of the things you are researching right now?
Right now, I am working with, I'm more involved into teaching online. So some of the
Well,
things
yeah,
that
pandemic.
So I'm just researching ways into doing a better teaching online. For example, one of the things that I do when I post my videos on my YouTube channel gives me some graphs into like how many people are watching, how many people are clicking on this video, the retention levels, right? All of that I can observe it on my YouTube channel. It gives me those stats.
So you're a
So
data girl too, huh?
yeah,
You
I'm
like all
looking
the
to
stats.
So it's mostly data. Before that, I was researching also. So before the pandemic, one of the things that I was doing was going to the malls with a group of students. And so in this mall, we would set up a couple of tables about and each table was teaching something about a specific system of the body, right? For
Oh, how
example, we had a
fun.
table. Yeah, we had a table about the cardiovascular system. We had a table about the respiratory system, one about the nervous system, and so on and so on. And
Oh,
so the
cool.
idea was for the people in the mall just to pass by these tables, get information about the human body, like general information, right? Not too
Did a lot of
deep.
people stop by?
Yeah. And so
I love
we
that.
did a we did a, this was our research, right? What we did was we did a pre-test before the activity started or the person started. We just asked a couple of questions regarding the things that we were going to teach to see if they knew this or not. And then they would go around through the tables, get the information, and they would also get like free vital tests,
Oh,
like
very cool.
yeah, kind of like a clinic scenario for the students, right? Because my students were nursing students. I had some physical therapy students.
Cool.
So it will give them also an opportunity to apply
Get that
their
practice
knowledge,
in.
right?
Yeah,
Practicing, right? Practice
totally.
with the people. And at the very end of the round tables, the person would just take another test, the same test. We call it a post-test. But it's essentially the same questions to see if they would like get better, right? At the like or understood
Interesting.
something or like learned something, right? And we found out that they did.
So you're
They
testing their
actually,
retention.
right, we were
Interesting.
testing their retention, we were testing if they understood something or
Yeah,
not,
that's so
right?
cool.
And it was very it was significant. We actually we recently published Part A of that study,
Oh,
and we're
no.
working on part B right now
Oh, my
for
goodness.
that study. Yeah.
That is so cool.
We call it the Anatomy Tour at the Mall. That was the title
Is this
of our.
study available? Can people access it and read it?
Yeah, part A is actually available right now on PubMed.
Awesome. Okay, gonna find it on PubMed. Mary
Yeah,
Vegan Vallis.
Part B is still on the works, but hopefully we're gonna publish it well, not publish it, but first submit it, right?
Very cool.
Sometime between this year and next year.
Wow. Okay. Well, I look forward to reading that. That's awesome. Yeah. I love that because I truly do believe that even just your average person who has maybe never even thought about going to school, you know, to learn more about the human body, to, you know, achieve XYZ degree to be a, you know, doctor, nurse, chiropractor, whatever, I don't know. You know, somebody who's so totally far away from having any understanding of the human body. I do truly believe that everyone has some curiosity about the body that they're in, right? So yeah. That's really cool that you went out there and you set up those tables and you know, had that information available to everyone. That's so cool.
Yeah, and our plan was to keep going. It's just that, well, a pandemic hit the entire world.
Yeah.
So we had to
stop. That happened.
That happened. And so we had to stop.
Yeah. Right?
But hopefully we can resume the project soon.
And I hope so too, because that's a really cool project. I love it.
Yeah. A lot of people loved it. We would also, you know, the people at the mall would get the, you know, something out of it, right? The vitals. Yeah. We would give also free Starbucks.
Oh, fun. Gift cards, right? I would have been there for that.
Right. Because, I mean, they were investing some of their time and we wanted them to be rewarded somehow.
That's cool.
You know, because of the, you know, giving us their time. So,
totally.
It was
gotta
amazing.
Rope them in, you know?
Right.
I love that.
Somehow,
that's so
cool. Somehow.
Mm-hmm. Get them in.
Get your free Starbucks.
That's funny. I do. That's so cool, though. I really love that. I'm looking forward to reading that article.
Yeah, I'll send it to you if anybody's interested. So just email me, and it's easier. I'll just send it to you.
Ooh, I can also put it in the show notes. I'll put it in the show notes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So listeners, if you're interested in that article, I'll just throw it in the show notes. You can read it there.
Yeah.
Okay, so what is one thing you wish you had known when you began your career?
Oh, okay. This is a deep question.
Oh, I know, right? little bit of a pivot here, right? But I think it's important, right? Like there's a lot of, especially a lot of my listeners are students and they're looking at different career opportunities. So I do love asking this question because it's something that I had wished that I had asked different, you know, professors and professionals before. So yeah, what is it that you wish you had known before you began your career?
For me, it was that unfortunately there are not too many tenure track anatomy positions out there, as I thought they were. When I started doing my PhD, that's the way that they kind of like sold the idea to me. And I did my PhD. I don't regret it. I love what I do. And I enjoy
you definitely
the,
do.
The
yeah.
Experience.
Your passion shines, girl. You do love what you do and it's amazing.
Yes. But, that's the only thing, right now, there are not too many tenure track anatomy positions out there. And I feel like it's because we're on a difficult situation right now where people at the universities can retire as of right now because, well, unfortunately, the retirement system is not good.
Nope.
But I'm not going to get into that because that's another whole topic.
That's a whole another thing,
And because of that, a lot of people, unfortunately, cannot retire.
Right.
They need to continue working. And so because of that, it has caused kind of like a chain reaction of not too many tenure tracks available.
That is exactly what my anatomy professor told me. And I'm really glad that he did.
And the other thing is that if there is a position available, sometimes you have to be willing to move to another place.
Right.
Yeah. And if you already have a family in one state, then it's difficult, you know.
Yeah.
So that's one of the things that I wish I knew when I began my career and nobody was honest with me. I'm glad that your professor was honest with you.
Yeah, me too, 100%. But it that doesn't mean that it makes it like any easier for anyone who's like who really wants to pursue their PhD. And it that doesn't mean that you can't do it, right? It's right. just that that is some that's just a struggle or a difficult piece that you're going to have to face, and you can face it and you can totally get past it and achieve whatever you want to. Absolutely. But having that understanding of that reality, I think, is really important. So right. I am glad that you echoed that.
One alternative for some people is just to do a combination of a PhD and an MD.
Uh-huh.
Because in that yeah. way they can, you know, practice in the clinic
yeah.
and then do some teaching on the side.
Mm-hmm. Right?
So that's one alternative. Or study something else, right? Do a master's in anatomy and then do a doctorate in something else, right?
Certainly.
Or if you really love human anatomy and you want to do the PhD, go for it. It's not like there's absolutely zero
yeah, right.
positions, right? I'm not saying that there's no hope. That's not what I'm saying.
There's hope,
right? And but yeah. there's a lot of competition. Know that there's a lot of competition out there. Tenure track positions are very scarce.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's one thing that I'm going to be honest with everybody who's listening.
Okay, so a little bit of a follow-up question. So mm-hmm. what advice would you give to someone wanting to pursue a career that's really similar to yours? So that individual that's like, okay, well, I understand what you're saying about the tenure track positions, but I want to do it. Let's go. What would you tell those guys?
Thank you for that question. That's also another deep question.
Yeah, a little bit.
And I think I'm going to dive in into being honest, right? One of the things that I would say is that science is hard.
Totally.
And sometimes when you are, let's say that you are a PhD candidate, you are working on your experiments, and in many occasions, experiments don't work. They mm-hmm. don't go, they don't go the way you think they will.
Totally.
Right? And so then you have to repeat a lot of times those experiments, or change your aim into something else
mm-hmm.
because simply experiments are not working out.
Right.
Those
and that's the nature of science.
Oh my God, yes. Yes, it happened to me. I had to change some of my experiments for something else, change my aim, because experiments were simply not working.
Mm-hmm.
And I try hard, like almost 6 months. And
yeah.
You can continue, right? But that's something that happens.
Sure.
And another thing that I would say is that ask around before you get locked into a specific lab with a specific mentor,
mm-hmm.
because some mentors are great, mm-hmm. but others are not.
Yeah.
And by that, I mean, some mentors can be mean. And unfortunately, this can be difficult, right, for mental health.
Right.
And this is something that the science community, sometimes they don't speak about it. But
no,
it is true.
It's that attempt to weed out the weak. And mm-hmm. I just don't agree with it. I think that people will weed themselves out when they learn that they're just in the wrong place, if they are, right? Like, I don't mm-hmm. think that it's a great idea to weed out the weak, you know, because sometimes you just need to find that right mentor or the right study group or what have you. You know, science is hard, but it's not completely inaccessible.
Yeah. And then for me, this was my case.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to be honest. I did had a person that unfortunately, he was very smart, right? This mentor, he was so smart, very knowledgeable.
Uh-huh.
He was publishing a lot. He had grants. He had an amazing lab. And in the lab, I made a lot of friends. And we were all would get along,
uh-huh.
but his manners were not the best
yeah.
to treat grad students. And that's something that unfortunately gave me panic attacks.
Oh no.
And I had to, after a year in that lab, I decided to switch labs. And I'm so that glad cost you did. Me, but it cost me my experiments, the advance that I already had.
Right.
I had to start all over.
Yeah, that's unfortunate. That's super unfortunate.
Because in my case, I didn't do the research before getting locked into the lab. I thought, you know, I had this amazing opportunity. He has such a great research background. Mm-hmm. And I love the research that he was doing. So I just went in.
So
that's one thing that I would recommend my listeners.
That's always great
ask
advice.
Around.
Yeah.
Ask around other students, right?
Yeah.
Word of mouth, essentially, right?
It's very important, because there are individuals who have taken that class before. Ask around, you know? You can usually find chat boards and Facebook groups and all of that stuff of individuals in, especially in graduate programs. Facebook groups are really, really popular in graduate groups. So just, you know, join the year that you're in and then join the year above you and ask everyone, hey, I'm about to sign up for this course. Should I take Professor A or Professor B? Or should I be in, you know, this section or that section or whatever? And, you know, people will help you out. You'd be surprised. People are more than willing to lend a helping hand, especially, you know, if they're in the same program, right?
Correct.
Yeah, and don't be afraid to utilize those resources.
Exactly. For me, after I did that, I did the research and then I found my mentor.
Awesome.
And then he was amazing.
Oh, great.
I loved him.
Yeah.
And, you know, he was a great mentor. And so
that's fantastic.
I stayed there and I was able to finish my PhD with him.
Awesome.
Mary,
thanks for sharing that story, because I know that's kind of hard, right? Like, you know, it's not super easy to talk about tough, you know, mental health stuff like that, right? Like,
mental health is so important. Oh my God.
It's
and
super
unfortunately,
important.
like I said, nobody talks, not too many people talks about this, but I feel like it's so important. It is. We need to have a healthy mind to work and function, right?
Absolutely. Without
that. It's not, and it doesn't mean that we are weak. It just means that we are human.
Yeah.
Right?
Absolutely.
We come with that integrated in our minds. We come with feelings, and that's in our brains embedded, right? So, yeah, that's my advice.
Awesome. Thank you so much for sharing that. That's really great and really helpful, especially to individuals looking into different programs and trying to figure all of this stuff out. That's awesome.
You're welcome.
So let's kind of go back to the very beginning. How did you learn anatomy? What was your first brush with anatomy?
So how did I learn anatomy? You mean like when I was back in college?
Yeah.
Or like...
So was college your first brush with anatomy?
No, actually, when I was in high school.
Oh.
Between middle school and high school. That's like some of my first memories. Of biology.
Yeah.
And I fell in love with human biology. Back then, I have another story, actually.
Let's dive into it. Let's go.
If I may.
Please do.
So my biology teacher, actually, she was amazing. Uh-huh. She was the one who actually made me fall in love with human biology, right? And when I was in high school, I think it was in 11th grade, I knew already that I wanted to study science, right?
Uh-huh.
Back then, I was convinced, right? And so I started applying to some of the colleges, right,
uh-huh,
for undergrad studies in natural sciences. And I applied to the University of Puerto Rico, which is the public university of the island.
Uh-huh.
And it's a very prestigious university because to go in, you have to have a higher GPA, right? That's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
So I remember my biology professor, she said to all of us who were applying, she said, "You're not going to get in. And if you get in, you're gonna drop in a year because I don't think you have what it takes.
Negative Nancy, that's not cool.
Yep, she said.
Oh, goodness,
I think you're gonna drop. I think you guys are gonna drop.
Oh, how dare she! Oh, I'm so glad you didn't listen.
It was brutal.
Yeah.
To hear that from a person that you admire.
Yeah.
From the person that actually I thought was a person who, like, a very inspiring person, you know?
Yeah, I would have been heartbroken.
I was.
Yeah, I'm sure.
I was. Oh, and so I remember I told my mom and she was like, you know, devastated as well. But
I'm sure. Oh, man. If my kid came to me and said that, my mama bear reaction would be like, all fired up.
My mom, she was, oh, my God.
You know, so fired up.
She was so fired up. To this day, let me tell you, to this day, my mom still tells me, you should go to your teacher and tell her that you have a PhD.
She's
you did
right.
It.
She's totally right. Like, hey, remember when you were a total jerk? Well, you were wrong.
Yeah, and to me that was brutal. But anyways, it kind of was like one of those things whenever a person tells you you can do it, and then you're like, no, I'm going to demonstrate that I can do it.
I'm going to show them.
I'm going to show you that I can.
I'm so,
so
glad
it was like
you
a
did.
Fire.
Yeah.
You know, like a fire. And then when I got into my first year of my bachelor's, it was a disaster.
Oh.
In my mind, I thought, okay, she was right.
Yeah. Well, of course, that's the first thought you have. But I am so glad you did not give up.
So the first year, let me tell you, it was brutal. I had this professor, this biology professor. Oh my God, I could not understand him. Like, I don't know. I don't know if this is going to sound bad or what, but I felt so dumb.
No, I mean, so.
Because I was like,
I'm
what
with you on that.
Is
there
going
have,
on?
There have been several science classes that I've been in where I'm sitting there like, am I just completely. Just a bonehead? Like, what? Am I just so dumb? But no, it's that these topics are complex and there're new ways of thinking even. And it just takes, I think, a little bit. Some individuals take longer than others to really get concepts. At least I'm that kind of individual. Sometimes I need much more time with the material than my fellow student does. And that doesn't mean that, you know, I'm any smarter or dumber than my fellow student. It just means that it takes me, you know, 5 repetitions of going over the material than the next person's 3 repetitions. I still understand the material. It's just, you know, different.
It's just different for every person. It's totally. Very different. I have friends that they go into a classroom, they just listen, they don't even copy a thing.
Oh, I know exactly who you're talking about, and I have envied those people. Yes, yeah.
They
sleep in class and like, oh yeah, I got everything. It's like, wait, what?
Yeah. I was like, I was so
full
jealous.
Attention. Oh, me too. I was full
it's
attention.
Like, how
I
do
recorded
you do
the
it?
Lectures. I listened to the lectures 1,000 times. I went over my notes 1,000 times. And it took so much effort to get all of the information in. And then there was the 5.0 kid, right? Not even the 4.0, the 5.0 kid that was just like, yeah, sure, I read the textbook. It's like,
so it's, I think it's just a matter of discovering the best method for you to understand things.
That's
like
spot
for me,
on,
it took me my first year of my bachelor's to discover the best methods for me. Mm-hmm. I'm a very visual person, and I have to also practice stuff, right? So that was the thing that worked for me, right? So I have some of my methods. It's to like reread the books, reread the PowerPoints. And then just keep practicing, right? And then I love to watch videos, right? I one of the things that I used to do, and I still do, I just go back to some of the YouTube videos, right? That's why one of the reasons I do my YouTube channel is because of that. Like, it's some of the things that I wish, like, I was the way I wish I was taught things.
Yes,
if that makes sense.
Right? Yeah,
so that's what I'm trying to do on my videos. I'm trying to share the concepts the best way possible. Right, I use some of pictures. I use these anatomy apps. I do a combination of stuff, right, to just teach you a specific lecture, right?
Yeah.
And I try to do it short, right? Because the human mind, the human brain has a very short span of attention.
Totally. Yeah.
It's typically
it does, indeed.
15 to 20 minutes, and then you just space out.
Mm-hmm. No, your videos are very efficient. They get to the point, they get that information out, and boom, you're good to go. They're great. Mm-hmm. They're a super excellent source. Keep them up because they're helping a lot of students. They really mm-hmm. are. Not just your students, but, you know, anyone else who finds it on YouTube and they're, you know, looking for additional resources when they're in their anatomy class and they're needing a little bit of extra help. So
yeah. And to finish the question, I think I just have one more thing I want to add.
Sure.
Like,
absolutely.
Today, I think I've shared a lot of myself.
It's so a podcast. That happens.
Right. So my husband, he is also, he has a PhD in anatomy and he's a physical therapist.
Cool. What? That's so cool.
So we're always like nerding about anatomy here mm-hmm. at home. Like if we read a paper or we heard this in like, I don't know, we're always talking about those kind of articles, papers, and discussing some of the most shocking things that we read. And we brainstorm ideas. So that's some
that's
of the things
so
that,
cool.
that
that's
still
so fun.
Helps me to learn and stay
well,
up to
date. Well, yeah, that's helpful when you have a partner in life, you know, that's just right there with you and nerding out about all of these things, you know. That's really cool. That's really great that like you and your husband, like, so you guys are anatomists, but you in very different ways. So that's really cool that you kind of get to bring different anatomy bits to each other from different, you know, different parts.
Yeah.
I love it.
I love it because I am more of a basic science type mm-hmm. of girl and he's more of a clinician.
Right.
So we combine those two things and it helps me a lot because I teach, like I said before, I teach pathophysiology. And it really helps me to get some of the ideas and knowledge to share with
you
my students.
You probably get a lot of like real clinical examples and real life details, right? That you're able to not just aid in your continued development and understanding of anatomy, but to then share with your students. So that's really cool.
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
Awesome. Very cool. So my last question for you is a silly one. I do love to end with this very silly one. If you could have dinner with any three people, dead or alive, who would it be and why?
I love that question. I actually, when I got it, I had to think about it for a little while.
Uh-huh.
But
I know, I did too. It's one of my favorite questions just because it's so much fun.
Yeah,
right?
I love it.
It makes you think, you're like, oh gosh, I'm kind of committing to three people.
I mean, I wish there was more, but three. Okay. So to answer your question, my top three people would be Dr. Stephen Hawking, Lady Gaga, and Elon Musk.
No thanks. I might have to kick Elon out, but that's okay. Oh, that's amazing though. Okay,
you're so sincere.
Oh yes, right. So tell me, dive in. I wanna know why. What are we doing here?
So first, Dr. Stephen Hawking. I think he was such an inspiration. He was a famous physicist. Yeah, and I think the fact that he overcome his diagnosis and continue to work throughout his life in physics and publish. I think that was amazing.
Me too. Yeah.
Because I don't know what I would have done in his position. I mean, not that you're not capable, but I don't know. I found his story so fascinating and inspiring.
Yeah, inspiring is the word for sure. I echo that.
Yeah, and I did watch that movie that they made about him, The Theory of Everything.
Uh-huh.
Have you seen it? Mm-hmm. Have you watched that movie? I love that movie.
It's incredible, right?
Yeah, with Eddie Redmayne. I think that was a great movie. Mm-hmm. But anyways, I think that's one of the reasons why I would have dinner with Dr. Hawking, but unfortunately, I cannot right now.
Yeah.
But and one of the main things is because I would really love to pick his brain.
Yeah, you know? Totally, right? There are just so many questions I could ask him. I don't even know where I would begin.
Yeah. So that's my first person. My second person is Lady Gaga.
Mm-hmm.
I love her so much.
She's pretty fantastic.
She's my favorite singer.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, my purple hair right now, this is an inspiration. It's inspired from her.
Oh, fantastic. I know she's always got something wild going on with the hair, like putting her hair in bows and stuff and all that.
Oh,
crazy.
My God. So pretty.
I don't know what she hasn't done with her hair.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, cool. But I think one of the reasons I would sit with her, it's because she's so talented. She can, I don't know if you've ever seen her sing live.
I haven't, but I would get, I really would love to.
She has an amazing vocal, right? Vocal cords. She can sing and she can play an instrument at the same time.
Yeah.
That's one of the most, I feel like that's very complicated. I mean,
it is really complicated. And she, like, and her voice is very true too. Like, it's not doctored in the studio, right? Like, I've watched some live footage of her on YouTube, and it's just amazing. Her voice is really, really
beautiful.
Powerful.
Yeah,
and beautiful powerful and just. It comes from that teeny tiny little body. You're like, where did that huge, amazing voice come from? It's really cool.
Yeah. So I think one of the, and not only that, she is also like her humility and the way she cares about people. I know that she has this foundation, the Born This Way Foundation, and she helps people with mental health issues. You remember earlier we were talking about mental health.
Yes, right? We were.
So for me, mental health is a big thing, right? After I had suffered those panic attacks, I try to take care of my mental health as best as I can. And so I admire her for doing that Born This Way Foundation. And one of the things I would ask her is like, how does she manages to balance her personal life with her artistic life?
Totally.
Like, I feel like I can barely manage like going for lunch and then reading something and then teaching and then, you know, it you know how, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Let's definitely talk about that. So the effort that it takes to make time for self-care is something that took me years to learn. I used to just run myself into the ground. I too have had my own bouts of rough times in my mental health, and I've experienced anxiety and depression and panic attacks as well, and stuff like that. And I've noticed, I've learned about myself that the times when those things creep up are when I am not taking care of myself, when I am overloading my plate, when I am, you know, saying, you know, yes to lunch and yes to this appointment and yes to that assignment and yes to this project and yes to that project. And I'm not saying yes to myself, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So mental health is something that it's really complicated. It isn't, you know, I don't mean to come across as saying like, oh, you just need to like give yourself like a bubble bath and all your mental health issues are going to be fine. It can be very much more involved and complicated than that. But
absolutely,
that also isn't to discredit that bubble bath. Sometimes,
right.
Sometimes you need to just stop and take care of yourself, your mental health, whatever that means for you. And it could mean that you go to a therapist. It could mean that you say no to some obligations. It could mean that you start a medication. It could mean that you stop a medication. It could mean it could mean endless things. And that's almost like a whole nother podcast episode. Right. But I am glad that you brought that up, because it is something that is really important. You know,
it is
really, really important to everyone. If you're a human, you have a brain and you have emotions and taking care of your mental health is as important as it is to, you know, making sure that you exercise and going to the dentist and making sure that you're eating right and drinking your water. It's all under the same umbrella of importance, right?
Correct. So. It's like, I feel like it's whenever you have a skin injury. Uh-huh. And you take care of your skin injury. You put you clean it, put on a bandage.
Yeah.
The same, you have mental injuries.
Yeah.
Right? Which is like depression, anxiety, all of that. Yeah. Those are mental injuries. And you have to take care of it. Otherwise, it will keep bleeding.
Yes.
Right? Yeah. In a sense.
That's a really beautiful analogy. Yeah, I agree with that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then, well, let me just finish the question. So my third person would be Elon Musk. Mm-hmm. And I know you're not a fan of him. I know.
I mean, silly.
It's okay. I respect it. I just feel like I would love to know how to build a business, right? Because right now I have my business with the Etsy shop. Uh-huh. I have my YouTube channel. So, and it's hard to create a whole business. It's so hard, you know, and I would love to pick his brain on that aspect, you know, because he's the Tesla, PayPal, Notalink, SpaceX, you know, he did all of these companies, and I'm like, I'm barely surviving today.
you are thriving, girl. You are killing it. I'm looking at you going, man, I would love to do half of things that Mary is doing. So keep that in perspective. Maybe I might be with you on that. Maybe it'd be interesting to pick Elon Musk's brain. I think with your dinner, I might pop in during dessert and be like, hey guys, I'm here for just a hot minute because I don't really like Elon Musk, but I'm here for 5 seconds during your dessert hour to maybe pick these three people's brain and give Elon Musk 5 minutes of attention and then leave.
Yeah, no. I love that, what you just said. It's not about his personality or anything to do, you know, nothing personal. It's just more of the business
portion. Totally, yeah. You can't take that from him, right? He's a smart guy.
Right, and I feel like that is admirable in a sense.
Oh,
right?
I'm with you on that.
I feel like, and in that way, I would have like the perfect trifecta, you know, science, arts, and business perspectives.
Oh, good thinking there. How cool is that? Okay, all right, I'll show up for dinner.
Definitely, you're invited.
Oh, awesome. Okay, thanks. Can I be your fourth person?
Absolutely.
Okay, cool.
I would love to pick your brain because I know you're a mother and you have your husband and, you know, you have your career. You want to go back to school, possibly for your PhD.
Yeah,
you have your podcast. So I feel like you're admirable as well. So
many thanks.
I don't have kids. I don't know how you do it.
It's literally the only word is patience. Lots and lots of patience.
Yeah, I admire mothers that have, you know, their own businesses and their own things. I feel like that is like a big applause, because that's for real.
Yeah, you know? No, thank you. And I admire it too. Like, I see so many mothers and individuals just rocking it, especially during this pandemic with like teaching at home and stuff. Oh man, that's a whole nother ball game.
I feel like you have to do a whole podcast on the pandemic.
I know, right?
Your stories. I would totally listen.
Oh, I'm sure there are so many podcasts in that avenue. Yeah, I'm so
like
sure
a special edition.
Yeah, right.
Of the anatomy nerd. The anatomy nerd special edition pandemic.
It would be really interesting to dive into the different ways that the pandemic had an effect on our anatomy, right? Like, we could dive into, you know, how the pandemic affected our mental health, right? Like how we had already talked about. We can talk about how the pandemic changed our psychological, or like our thinking about how we interact with one another, right? Like with masks and 6 feet apart and all of that stuff. Like, I mean, and then with the vaccines, right? Like there's a whole another thing there.
Physically, how COVID-19 affects the body.
Yeah. Right?
There's a lot of things to talk about.
I could absolutely have a COVID anatomy nerd podcast, but I think for now I'm going to stick to anatomy because that's a lot.
I love it. I would totally listen. I'm a nerd.
Totally. I am too. Well, if I am lucky enough to be able to do that episode, I'll share it with you, girl. Well, I mean, of course I'll share it with everybody, buddy. But I'll give you all the juicy details.
Yay.
Excellent. Okay, so I think those were that was the last of the questions I have for you, but I would love for you to tell our listeners, where can they find you? Where can they connect with you online?
Yeah, they can connect with me via Instagram at Queen Mary Anatomy or Facebook at Queen Mary 353. I'm also on LinkedIn. I'm on TikTok as Queen Mary Anatomy, and or my YouTube channel where you can find all of my videos for free, right? Queen Mary Anatomy as well.
Awesome.
So that's where they can.
You are all over. Yeah. So whatever platform or social media that you like, you can certainly find Mary there. She's there. She's
even
got
Twitter.
It down.
I sometimes forget about Twitter, but I also have Twitter too. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Awesome. Good. And people can find you everywhere. Fantastic.
Yeah.
And then again, listeners, we have a coupon code for you. So tell our listeners a little bit about that.
Oh, yes, you have the coupon code is Nerd Podcast.
Awesome.
Right, all together for my Etsy shop.
Yeah, one word, Nerd Podcast.
Mm-hmm. Nerd Podcast. Very easy.
Yeah, and her Etsy shop is very easy to find. Just type in Queen Mary Anatomy and it'll pop up. It's really fun.
Yeah. And in this podcast, the coupon code is for 20% off.
Awesome. So, very cool. And how long is that available?
It's there for every listener
for a long time. Fantastic. Fantastic. Okay. That's great.
I don't think I even put a due date on it. So
very cool. Okay. Listeners, then take advantage.
Yes, absolutely.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for offering that. That's wonderful.
You're welcome.
And thank you so much for coming on the podcast, Mary. It was so wonderful getting to talk to you. I mean, we talked about heart attacks. We talked about academia. We talked about mental health. I mean, we really jam-packed a lot into this episode, and I'm so glad that you were just so willing to dive into so many different things. It was fantastic. I appreciate
you. Absolutely. It's my pleasure. I like I said, I'm a nerd. Yeah. I like these topics, and I could be talking forever and ever.
Yeah. Oh, me too. Me too. Yeah. I'm so glad that we nerded out on this episode. It was great.
Me too.
All right. Well, thank you, listeners, so much for listening. And until next time, hasta luego.
Bye.
The information on this podcast is not intended or implied to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. All content, including text, graphics, images, and information contained on or available through this podcast is for general information purposes only.